Do you remember when you got the exciting news? You were going, or your wife was going to have a baby. Well, you have these visual images and these dreams. And you dream everything is going to be rosy. You dream those kindergarten graduations. You dream the Little League games. You dream about the high school graduations. Those are the good old days. And you're dreaming about how perfect and how rosy and how glamorous it's all going to be. We don't dream about the difficulties. We don't dream about the heartaches and the heartbreaks and the difficult times. Thomas Jefferson, some 240 years ago, wrote a letter to his friend, and this is what he stated in his letter. The art of life is learning how to avoid pain. I'm thankful for our former president. I just disagree with him. The art of life is not avoiding pain. The art of life is learning how to deal with the pain that all of us are going to deal with. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how educated you are going to have to deal with pain. Now, Naomi has become very familiar to the funeral home downtown. Her husband has passed away. Her son has passed away, and now her other son has passed away. No details are given. No description is given. You just see three widows who are overwhelmed with grief. How do you handle problems, grief, heartache when it comes knocking at your door? What do you do with disappointment when it shows up? You're in Ruth chapter 1, notice verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So she had choices to make. Would she stay there and just mourn and grieve for the rest of her life? Would she stay there and starve? Or would she go toward God? And that is my encouragement for every mom that is here today. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have heartbreak. And when it comes, the right choice, you follow after God. You chase after God. Notice verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of that place where she was, her and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, Oriental custom was in this time for the host to accompany their guest as they were leaving. So no doubt these two daughter-in-laws, they are joining their mother-in-law, Naomi, as she is departing, going back to Bethlehem, Judah. That's the situation that we have. Bethlehem was 3 days' journey to Moab, or Moab, and so they weren't going to go the whole way, and Naomi wouldn't allow them to go the whole way. So they started upon this path. Notice verse 8. Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to your mother's house. It's interesting it doesn't say your father's house. See, the mothers were responsible for planning the weddings, for orchestrating the weddings. What she was saying, girls, you're still young. You still have a lot of life in front of you. You go back to your mother's house. You find a good Moabite fella and you marry him. I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah. And you notice, look at verse 9. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lift up their voice, and they wept. Three widows. Their lives have been turned upside down unexpectedly. Maybe one of the most heartbreaking scenes in all of Scripture. Where are they? It could be they're there at the border. Quite possibly, Bible scholars say, they're there at the Jordan River. And literally what you see is three responses to grief. Three responses to heartache. Three responses to when your world is turned upside down. And every mother has to experience that. And I want you to learn some lessons today from these three mothers and how they responded. Sermon I'm entitling, A Tough and a Tender Mother. First one, notice Naomi. We see her, first of all, on your outline, a defeated widow. So Naomi is taking steps to return back to Bethlehem, Judah. When she started, her daughter-in-laws, they're following her. It would appear that Ruth and Orpah, in their hour of despair, were looking to Naomi, hey, you give us direction and we're going to do what you tell us to do. Mom, when you are going through heartache, when your world has been turned upside down, you are being watched. You are being observed. You are teaching lessons. Here's how you handle it when life stinks. This is what you do. Her two daughters are looking to her for help. Naomi's response, verse 8, she says unto her daughters-in-law, go, return to your mother's house. She encouraged them to stay in Moab. No, don't go to the house of bread in Bethlehem, Judah. Don't go and follow me and follow my God. No, you just stay here in this pagan place. And she thanked them for their care. Look at verse 9. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. She kissed them. They lifted up their voices and they wept. They had been good wives. They had been good daughter-in-laws. She expresses her love for them. But she doesn't do anything to encourage them spiritually. Hey, mother, encourage those daughters and those sons spiritually. I say encourage those son-in-laws spiritually. You say, well, they don't always listen to me. When they come to my house, they got to listen to me. Hey, I'm always going to make a beeline to Jesus somehow. Hey, it may be a side door. It may be a back door. But we're going to get to Jesus. Now, they keep coming back. It could be for Tracy's cooking. I don't know. But as long as they're coming to my house, they're going to be confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just encourage you, when your kids are outside of your house, when they're inside of your house, they need to hear about Jesus. And there's no better voice for them to hear about Jesus than from the voice of their mother or from the voice of their mother-in-law. Look at verse 10. Notice their response. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They're seeking answers. They're willing to follow Naomi if she will just encourage them to do that. Her response, verse 11. Turn again, my daughters, verse 12. Turn again, my daughters, go your way. I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they are grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters. Naomi is looking at things from an earthly perspective. Here's my challenge. All mothers have problems. All mothers have difficulty. All mothers go through times of heartbreak. In those seasons, in those times, don't be looking at it from an earthly perspective. Looking at it from a heavenly perspective. God, what are you seeing? God, what are you wanting to do? God, what are you wanting me to say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. She can't give these girls life. Instead, she's defeated. She's discouraged. She gives them death. Look at verse 13. She's got a wrong view of God. For it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Naomi, though a believer, is discouraging them spiritually. Look at verse 14. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Why would she let these girls and encourage these girls to go back to their gods? She has a wrong view of God. Verse 13, the hand of the Lord is against me. Verse 20, he has dealt bitterly with me. Verse 21, he has afflicted me. And yet she is encouraged them to go back to Moab. The chief god of Moab was Chemosh. They practiced child sacrifice in Moab. Naomi, it's tough. It's difficult. Speak life into these girls. Speak hope into these girls. Speak Jehovah God into these girls. But no, she does not give them that advice. Your words are powerful, Mom. When times are difficult, I'm here to say, they're even more powerful. Speak heaven words. Speak divine words. Speak Jesus words. Why was God allowing her to suffer? And why does God allow all of us to suffer? Look at verse 20. She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Look at verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You see that? I went out full. Went out on my own. Went out for me. The Lord has brought me back. Anytime we go out doing our own thing, it's not going to end well, but the Lord brings her home. Notice the last part of the verse. The Lord hath afflicted me. It means to break in pieces. God had to break her will to bring her to a place of blessing. And a lot of times, we go through heartache, and we go through heartbreak, and we go through trying difficult circumstances so that God can break our will, so that He can bring us to the place of blessing. But we got to go through that time of heartache, and we got to go through that time of heartbreak. Look at verse 21 one more time. I went out full. And the Lord hath brought me again empty. You remember just a few verses previously, it was a famine in the land. They left Bethlehem because there was a famine in the land. We got to go. We're going to starve. We got to get out of here. We got to do something. So they left. Looking back, Naomi says, we were full. We had the things in life that really matter. Those were the days. Don't escape your problems. Don't run from your problems. Just because you're afraid of what might be on the horizon, you hear from God and you do what He's telling you to do. Number one, Naomi's a defeated widow. Number two, we see Orpah, a departing widow. Verse 8. Already seen it. Naomi says to her two daughter-in-laws, go to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you. When Naomi first demands this, Orpah says, no way. Look at verse 10. They said unto her, surely we will return unto thee, unto your people. And Naomi systematically starts laying out why you should not go with me to Bethlehem, Judah. Your life as a widow in Judah will be incredibly hard. Your prospects for a husband will be zero. No Jewish man is going to marry a Moabite. It's forbidden in the law. You will be unwanted. You will be despised. You will be rejected by the Jewish community. For Jews hate Moabites. You will be forfeiting your citizenship as a Moabitess. She gave her no prospects. She gave her no promises. Verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and she went back to Moab. Orpah's there at the crossroads. Orpah's there listening to her mother-in-law for good advice. And she doesn't find it. She calculated the cost, decides to go back home. She was sad about it. She had tears about it, and they were real, genuine tears. But she chose safety. She chose what she could see. She chose what she had always known. Mom, in times of heartache, in times of heartbreak, in times of difficulty, you don't go through eyes of physical eyes. You go through the eyes of faith. God, what do you want me to do? God, what are you calling me to do? You got to hear His voice. You can't make life-altering decisions just, well, it would be easy to do this. It would be comfortable to do this. What is God telling you to do? And what does God want you to do? Orpah chose to stay in a cursed land. Orpah chose to live in a place of spiritual darkness. She could have chosen to go to Judah in spite of Naomi. But she doesn't. She makes her decision. She walks off the pages of Scripture, never to be heard from again. And then Naomi turns to Ruth. She says, what are you waiting for, Ruth? You, go follow your sister-in-law and go back to Moab. Look at verse 15. And she said, behold, your sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after your sister-in-law. What happens next is maybe the greatest confession in all of the Old Testament. Number three, and I'm done. Notice Ruth, a determined widow. Verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and she departed. But Ruth, you see what it says? She clave unto her. She grabbed a hold of her. She clung to her. She pulled her tight. Ruth illustrates for us a person that says yes to Jesus. I'm following you, Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Look at verse 15. And she said, behold, your sister has gone back unto her people, to her gods. You return after your sister-in-law. And Ruth, rather than listening to wrong advice, she listened to heaven's advice. That's the only counsel she had. She was looking through eyes of faith. Now notice what she says. I think maybe one of the greatest statements of faith in all the Old Testament. Her response, five statements. She commits to a new land. Verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after thee. Whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. She's leaving a place of spiritual darkness for a place of spiritual light. She's leaving a place of idolatry for a place and a land of devotion. God, wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to go. Hold on a second. She's just lost her father-in-law. She's just lost her mother-in-law. She's just lost her brother-in-law. She's just lost her husband. She's just lost her sister-in-law. It would be easy to go back to her father and to her mother. She said, no. I'm going to a new land. She commits to new leadership. Look what verse says. Thy people shall be my people. She's willing to submit to Naomi's way of life. No longer living under Moabite standards. I'm going to live under Jewish and Bethlehem standards. She commits to a new Lord. Look what it says. Your God will be my God. She had worshiped the false gods of Moab. She says, not any longer. I'm going to worship Jehovah God. Look at the fourth one, verse 17. She commits to a new lineage. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Ruth is willing to cut all ties to Moab. I'm following Jehovah God. Naomi, I'm not leaving you. I'm going with you. One more. She commits to a new loyalty. Last part of 17. The Lord do so to me, And more also, if aught put death apart thee and me. She's making a lifelong commitment. I'm not leaving. I'm not separating. I'm not quitting. I'm not throwing in the towel. God, you curse me if I ever quit. She was sold out. This was no blind decision by Ruth. She knows there's no prospects but poverty. Naomi has promised me nothing but a hard time. She has nothing to gain and everything to lose. What does she do? You notice Naomi says, go back to your mother's house. You know she had to have that conversation. Can you imagine what that was like? She goes to tell her mom, Mom, I'm going with the mother-in-law, Naomi, and I'm going to Bethlehem, Judah. Can you see her mother and what she says? Ruth, I told you you should not have married that Jewish boy. You didn't listen to me, and now he's dead and gone, and he's left you in poverty. Ruth, now you're leaving your family. You're leaving your grandparents. You're leaving your father. You're leaving your brothers and sisters. And you're going to some strange land where you will not be accepted. And you will not be appreciated. And you will not be loved. You'll be ridiculed. Can you hear the concerns of her mother speaking to her? Ruth possesses nothing. God hasn't promised her anything at this point. No human being has said, hey, I'm going to help you out. She has committed herself to the life of an older widow rather than the search of a new husband. This makes no sense whatsoever. Maybe one of the most radical decisions in all of the Old Testament. Look at verse 22. So Naomi returned. And Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Naomi went to Moab full, and Moab made her empty. She's coming back to Bethlehem empty. Glory, hallelujah. But God Almighty is going to make her full. Maybe you're here today and you say, hey, I'm smack dab in the middle of heartache. I'm smack dab in the middle of broken life. Hey, I got nothing. Can I speak to you? Trust God. Follow God. And you say, but I'm broken. But I'm all alone. I have no prospects. You follow God. You have all the prospects in the world. That was Ruth. She's coming to Bethlehem empty. But hallelujah, before long, she's going to be full and she's going to be overflowing. Maybe you failed God. Hey, that happened with Naomi. When a believer comes home, you're going to come home. And you're going to come home. Notice, they left in time of famine. They're coming home in harvest time. Things are blooming. Things are blossoming. Things are growing. Notice verse 22. They came to Bethlehem in the beginning. Naomi thought her life was over. In reality, it was just the beginning. It was a new chapter. Because she chose to follow God Almighty, God says, woo! I got a new ending for you. I got new promises for you. I got new hope for you. You may have been through heartache. You may have been through loss. You may have been through heartbreak. But good days are coming. Full days are coming. Hang on, Naomi. Hang on, Ruth. Good times are coming. In the beginning, notice it says, a barley harvest. Barley harvest, that was the time of Feast of First Fruits was observed. You remember, that was where the priest would take a sheaf of barley. They would wave it for the Lord as a praise and thanksgiving for him. So here comes Naomi. Those that remember her come up to her. Said, Naomi, Naomi, where have you been, Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. Naomi means sweet. Call me bitter. Here comes Naomi. Here comes Ruth. They're coming into Bethlehem, Judah. Everything's blooming. Everything's growing. In the midst of the feast of first fruits, a time of praise, a time of adoration. Listen to me. When in the middle of heartbreak and in the middle of heartache, what you need is praise to God. You need to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. So if you're going through, my world has been turned upside down, can I give you a prescription? Start praising Jesus. Start thanking Jesus. You've been good to me. And start listening all the ways that He has been good to you. Let me give you one more. Feast of First Fruits was a foreshadowing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is called the first fruits of resurrection. So here come Naomi and Ruth. They come in hard times. They've come having lost everything. Naomi saying, my life is over. And they come during the feast of first fruits, the resurrection. And what God is saying, no, Naomi, your life is not over. Your life is getting ready to have a brand new beginning. Woo! Naomi, you're going to have a resurrection. Naomi, you don't know it yet, and Ruth doesn't know it yet. You're going to have a grand baby. Woo! Life has only begun. Naomi, hey, you may say you're bitter, but you're going to be shouting. I don't know if she'll have a white hanky, but she was shouting and she was praising the Lord. Why? In the midst of heartache, in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of defeat, in the midst when her world had been turned upside down, she followed hard after God. My word for every mother, every father, every son, and every daughter. Heartaches will come out of the blue and you weren't even expecting them. And they will sucker punch you even when you're down. And you'll want to turn over and just not wake up. God, I can't go on. The secret in those times, there's a resurrection coming. There's a harvest coming. You follow after God because there's a grandbaby coming, which will be a lot better than all those kids. Amen, grandparents. Hallelujah. Let me close with this and I'll be done. One of my favorite heroes of church history, a guy by the name of Robert Murray McShane. He lived 29 years. 29 years. But yet in those 29 years, he accomplished more than most people do in 90 years. One man said, after hearing Robert Murray McShane preach, said this. Robert Murray McShane preached with eternity stamped upon his brow. And then he said, I trembled and I never felt so close to God as in the presence of Robert Murray McShane. One of the statements he made, and I love this. He said, live your life in such a way so that when you are gone, you are forever missed. Live your life in such a way so that when you are gone, you are forever missed. You know how you do that? Going hard after God. In easy times and in heartbreak times. You may be weeping. You may be crawling, but you go hard after God. Live your life in such a way so that when you're God, you are forever missed.